Blog Talk Radio.
Life goes on day after day. Hearts torn in every way. So very quest for mercy, cause this land's the place I know, and here I stay. People, they rush everywhere. Each with a secret care. So fairly cross the Mersey, and always pick me there, the place I love. Oh, around every corner, they seem to smile and say, we don't care what your name is, boy, we'll never turn you away. So I'll continue to sing. Here I always will stay. So fairly cross the Mersey, cause this land's the place I live, and here I'll stay, and here I'll stay, here I'll stay.
Conservatives are really something, aren't they? They're all in favor of the unborn. They will do anything for the unborn. But once you're born, you're on your own. Pro-life conservatives are obsessed with the fetus from conception to 9 months. After that, they don't want to know about you. They don't want to hear from you. No, nothing. No neonatal care, no daycare, no Head Start, no school lunch, no food stamps, no welfare, no nothing. If you're pre-born, you're fine. If you're preschool, you're fucked. Conservatives don't give a shit about you until you reach military age. Then they think you are just fine, just what they've been looking for. Conservatives want live babies so they can raise them to be dead soldiers. Pro-life. Pro-life. These people aren't pro-life. They're killing doctors. What kind of pro-life is that? What, they'll do anything they can to save a fetus, but if it grows up to be a doctor, they just might have to kill it? They're not pro-life. You know what they are? They're anti-woman. Simple as it gets. Anti-women. They don't like it. They don't like women. They believe a woman's primary role is to function as a broodmare for the state. Pro-life. And speaking of my friends, the Catholics, when John Cardinal O'Connor of New York and some of these other cardinals and bishops have experienced their first pregnancies and their first labor pains, and they've raised a couple of children on minimum wage, then I'll be glad to hear what they have to say about abortion. I'm sure it'll be interesting. In the meantime, what they ought to be doing is telling these priests who took a vow of chastity to keep their hands off the altar boy. Boy, these conservatives are real.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. We thank you for joining us. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan.
And we have a great show for you lined up tonight. And again, we're talking about women's rights and what gives the government permission or rights over a woman's bodies. interesting to know that the committee in charge of women reproductive rights in the House of Representatives, on the Republican side, it's all men. You know, men should have no say in women's reproductive rights because these right-wing fascists, you know, don't believe that a woman should get an abortion for any reason. As George Carlin said in the piece, that they're just a broodmare for the state, meaning they should keep quiet, not get educated, remain barefoot and pregnant, and, you know, just, you know, listen to what their husbands or their significant others say. And we're not about that in America. We shouldn't be about that. Time have evolved, and this is not 1920s or the 1860s or whatever. You know, so this was season 6, episode 17 of Kitchen Politics 1, 2, 3. Abortion rights. Whose body is it anyway? What is more big government than a bunch of religious politicians on the right wing trying to dictate what a woman can or can't do with her body? Why are Republicans so upset with keeping women barefoot and pregnant with limited to no opportunity to thrive economically? A woman's place is not only in the House, but the Senate, the state legislature, and the corridors of power. One day, America will have a woman White House. Do you think we will see it in our lifetime, or is it decades away from happening? Other countries around the world has had a female head of state, prime minister, or president. Why not America? We had the best chance in 2016, and then we fucked it up. So thank you for joining us. Like I said, call in 515-605-9802. Say your first name and where you're calling from. Don't speak over the host or any other caller who may be calling in online. Failure to do so would mean automatic termination of your call. Remember to visit kitchenpolitics123.com. We're going to have merchandise up for sale soon. Baseball caps, T-shirts, coffee mugs, bumper stickers, all that good stuff. So we're excited about that and everything. And thank you for sharing across all social media. And a big shout out to the 505 Albuquerque Reds, the Liverpool Supporters Club in New Mexico. I know that they had a game today, and the craft room is where they meet. And, you know, we're going to meet again Sunday, 9:30 p.m., and we look forward to that. And so if you're in the Albuquerque area, come to the craft room, 9:30 a.m., where Liverpool is going to play, the best football club in the world. You have to see Mohamed Salah, the best. You know, Alisson, the goalkeeper, the best in the world. We just have the best club, Liverpool. Look them up. Liverpool FC, the best. And Manchester United, they suck. That's all I got to say. They're overrated, overblown, and their egos are, I don't know what to say. But anyway, let's get on with the show. We'll have a lot of calls lined up and everything. But before we do, we had something to say, Laurie, about this Texas thing.
Yeah.
Kate Cox. And then...
Yeah. Yes, I do. This has been an upsetting week for me because I understand what Kate Cox has gone through. And it became a little personal to me because of my history. But I just want to talk about this for a minute because I find, I feel that this country is going backwards and women don't, and I don't know if women have really gotten to the point where they're fed up. So let's talk about Kate Cox for a minute and then we can maybe see if there's something that we can do in this country because I'm feeling very frustrated these days. So Kate Cox is a mother in Texas, Dallas, Texas, I believe she was from. And she is 31 years old. She's a mother of two. And she was, of course, pregnant. She went and filed a lawsuit because her doctors said that the pregnancy threatens her life, and the fetus, the baby, has a genetic disease and will not live, no matter what they do, will not. If she decides to go through with the pregnancy, there could be complications. She could get very ill. She could die, or she would be sterile and not have any more children. Now, this is a woman that already has children. We have to remember this. And she's a mom. She's a wife. She has a husband. She has a full family. So it isn't like this lady was, you know, just decided, I have two kids already and I want an abortion. No, this was a medical reason. There was a medical
emergency.
So, yes, it was basically, yes, an emergency. And it was a medical, and it is a medical reason for her. So she did go to the court, and the court did say, it was a woman judge, and she did say that they, that she could have the abortion. Well, hours after that, the attorney general of in Texas went to the Supreme Court, and he asked them to look at the case, and they decided that she could not have an abortion. On what grounds? They are not doctors, number the, you know, on the courts. They're, did they interview her doctor? And not only that, what gets me is that they have no medical background. All they had were was the fact that if she goes through with this pregnancy, there, you know, could be danger. But they don't care. That's the obvious part. They did not care that she could lose her life, that her baby would not live no matter what, because there was something abnormal about, you know, and sick with, you know, the fetus. So why is it that a court can decide what a woman can do with her life? This is not fair. Now,
yes, and the thing about it, Laurie, is the thing about it, Laurie, is that the Supreme Court in Texas, all the judges are conservative. And we all know, Texas, like in Florida, like in these other different states, we're all Christian conservative evangelical morons. They go after what the Bible says. And, you know, they just want to subjugate women to be bare feet and pregnant and what have you. And even though somebody could be raped or have incest and everything, and a baby can give you complications, can kill you, can die inside you, you know, they still want the, you know, the woman to carry this baby to full term, which don't make any sense, you know?
Yeah, but this is more than, you know, this is basically someone else, a court, making a decision about her life. And what if this mom dies? Is the state of Texas going to take care of her family, her children? Are they going to raise them for her? If they make this decision for her life, for her family, for her kids? No, they won't do a damn thing for her. They'll probably give her thoughts and prayers. I am beyond disgusted with this country right now. Not in state. Not in every state. In Michigan, we're good. But I'm just saying, I am beyond disgusted because I don't feel that there is an urgency for women to understand what threat they are under. I don't think they get it. And I'm hoping that this case, being that it went, you know, it just took over everything. The internet, it took over all the news. It went nationwide. I hope that people are paying attention because she had to leave the state of Texas. And the next question is, when she comes back, when she and her husband come back, will she be arrested? That is what I would like to know.
Yeah. And because Ken Paxton, the Attorney General for Texas, he was saying that any doctor who performed this abortion, they're going to be sued for $100,000, and they're going to try to get a license from them. And anybody who aided her in going across state lines to acquire this abortion, this life-saving abortion, will also be prosecuted. You know, so isn't there anything better in Texas to do than going after a woman trying to save her life and trying to, like, live a normal life and everything? Why are they so obsessed with women's vagina? That's what I want to know. You know, they came out of one, and ever since then, especially Republican men, want to go back in women's wombs and everything. Why? Why? You know? It's just it's absurd, really. So we'll have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 calls lined up. We're not going to keep them long, calling on longer.
I want to talk about later on the hypocrisy and callousness, Texas treatment of pregnant prison guard. She was 7 months pregnant, and she lost her baby, but we'll talk about that later on.
Yeah,
remember, folks, we call in at 515-605-9802, say first name and where you're calling from, and let's have a whale of a good time tonight. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking?
Hello, this is Elaine from Michigan. Can you
hear
me?
Hi, Elaine.
Yep.
I have got a couple questions. One is, I thought we were the United States of America.
Mm-hmm.
I thought we functioned as one. That's what made us the mega power of the world. It doesn't look like it, does it?
No.
Absolutely. It looks like, you know, I am really, what I'm thinking right now, and I, Lori, I'm just as disgusted as you are. This woman has already had C-sections, which means her pregnancies aren't easy. For some reason, the baby could, after it turned into a baby at 9 months, when the fetus was growing, and when it turned into a baby at 9 months, she wasn't able to deliver for some reason. There's some sort of malfunction. I'm not a doctor, so I'm putting it in layman's terms.
Right.
So she's already had two C-sections. We don't know her history. Maybe she's had other C-sections. We don't know. Maybe she's had miscarriages. We don't know. Really,
no.
It's none of our business.
No,
but
it's
she's
not.
It has a problem right now. She can't have that fetus die inside of her because there is no way her body will expel it.
No, exactly. Exactly. She's
her
21.
Body won't expel it. If she can't give natural birth, her body won't expel a dead fetus.
Exactly.
So
in
this is Sue from Michigan. And so Texas is willing to let the mother die. And if she doesn't die and, you know, can't have the baby or has an abortion, she can't have any more kids. Aren't they for children right of the child and forget the mom? They're not even allowing another baby to be born. Doesn't make any sense. If they're pro-life, aren't they pro-life for a baby that will live, not one that's going to be born dead? It doesn't make any sense. And kill the mother who has two other children? It's ridiculous. They're against all what they say. It doesn't make any sense.
Mm-hmm. I want to play this clip for you later. The security guard in the federal prison system, her name is Celia Issa, and she was on guard in Texas, and she's now suing the state of Texas because she was 7 months pregnant and she was having serious labor pains and asked if she could take a break, and they told her no. And so she had the miscarriage right in front of her bosses and supervisors and everything. And I had the nerve to tell her that, you know, her baby that miscarried, it's stillborn. It wasn't human. So, again, Texas is talking on both sides of the mouth where, you know, is the baby life form? Is the unborn child a life form? Like, you know, Kate Cox are fighting against her, getting an abortion to save her life. And then this lady, Celia Issa from Texas, where she miscarried, and they have to tell her, oh, you know, that your baby wasn't human. So which is it, Texas? Ken Paxton, the Attorney General, Greg Abbott, the governor, you know, tell us what's going on. You know, so here's another clip.
A Texas prison guard, 7 months pregnant, claims she was forced to remain at her post despite experiencing labor pains. Celia Issa alerted her supervisors at an Abilene prison about her condition, but was denied permission to leave for hours, eventually leading to her stillborn baby's death. The family filed a lawsuit against the Texas Department of Criminal Justice and three supervisors, alleging violations of state and federal laws as well as the U.S. Constitution. The TDCJ and the Texas Attorney General's Office, known for their stance on defending the unborn, argue against responsibility, questioning fetal rights. This case highlights the complexities and inconsistencies surrounding fetal personhood claims and opens debates about the implications of such rights.
Yeah, so the hypocrisy and double standard by Ken Paxton, an attorney general's office, is just, it's not complex, really. It's just a matter of being good or evil. And this son of a bitch, who is corrupt, he should have been out of office and in federal prison for what he did. The Republican state legislature give him a free pass, found him not guilty, and now he's back in a jail. I mean, Jesus Christ, Texas, what the hell? You know, can you get anything right, Texas? Really? You know?
All of a sudden, it's a fetus. I thought it was a baby. Would they make up their goddamn minds what they're going to call the fetus?
Wait a minute. She was 7 months pregnant.
Which is already viability.
Exactly. And if she would have gotten to the hospital in time and got the right medical care and maybe had to have a C-section to save the baby, that baby probably would still be alive. Obviously, she was having excruciating pains because something was wrong. At the end, things can go wrong. I've had that happen as well. So what I'm trying to say is that this is all bullshit. And then her supervisor told her over the phone when she called her several times and begged her to leave, she told her she was lying. What kind of a supervisor tells a 7-month pregnant woman that she's lying about being in pain? What is she going to do, go to the bar and dance? Really?
Is she African-American and is the supervisor white?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I got a feeling there's that involved.
I don't know.
I think she's Latina. From the name, based on the name, I'm looking here and searching on Sila. Yeah, she looks African-American to me. Yes. I think she's African-American.
Well, she could be dark Latino.
Mm-hmm. There you go. Yes, because she has a Latina last name. Yes, ma'am. So in a heart-wrenching case that has ignited this debate over fetal rights and government accountability, Celia Issa, she was a prison officer in Abilene prison system. She experienced a devastating loss of her unborn baby. You know, imagine being, and giving birth to a stillborn kid. You know, the stress, the agony.
And Laura, you're right. I've got a step-grandson that was taken C-section at 7 months, and it was touch and go for almost 3 months after he was brought into the world, but he had to reach 5 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
At 7 months, it was 3 pounds.
Hey, they do it every day, Elaine. They do it every day.
I know they do. But it's still touch and go.
Yeah,
even of course.
Yes, I'm just saying that it's not an unusual thing. It does happen, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, even 6 months they've saved babies. But I'm just saying Texas is so sides of their mouth. They only go with what the story is at that time, and they make up the law to twist around that story for themselves, not for the woman. Never for the woman.
Exactly. So, I have a next clip to play for you, 2 minutes long. It's further detailing what happened to Miss Issa and everything. Here it is.
One evening in November, Celia Issa, working as a prison officer at Abilene Prison, began her shift. She suddenly felt intense pain, which she believed was a contraction. Being 7 months pregnant, she informed her supervisors about her condition and the need to go to the hospital. However, prison policy prevented her from leaving her post until a replacement arrived. Unfortunately, nobody arrived to relieve her for hours. Despite repeatedly requesting relief and explaining her situation, her supervisor denied her requests and even accused her of lying. After 2.5 hours of enduring the pain, Issa was finally allowed to leave the Middleton unit. She rushed to a nearby hospital, where she underwent emergency surgery after doctors couldn't detect a fetal heartbeat. Tragically, her baby was stillborn. Medical professionals later informed Issa that if she had reached the hospital earlier, her baby could have been saved. Almost a year later, Issa and her husband, Fistan Rukunjiza, filed a lawsuit against the Texas Department of Criminal Justice and prison officials. They accused the state of violating both state and federal laws, as well as the U.S. Constitution, which led to the death of their child. The lawsuit seeks compensation for medical expenses, funeral costs, and emotional distress. The Texas Attorney General's office, known for its pro-life stance, is defending the prison agency, arguing that the state shouldn't be held responsible for the stillbirth, claiming that no laws were broken. The office also questions whether Issa's fetus had rights as a person under the 14th Amendment. This situation represents a shift in tone for Texas, which has historically positioned itself as a strong advocate for protecting the rights of the unborn. Despite this reputation, the state's response to this case has raised questions about its commitment to fetal rights. The legal battle brings up complex issues surrounding fetal personhood and the inconsistencies in the state's approach to such matters. The case is ongoing, and a federal judge is considering the claims presented by both sides, including allegations of discrimination and violations of the Family and Medical Leave Act. The outcome could potentially influence the broader discussion around fetal rights and the responsibilities of institutions when it comes to the well-being of pregnant individuals.
Okay, so there you have it right there.
David, what's the 14th Amendment?
Say that again?
What's the 14th Amendment?
Oh, yeah, the 14th Amendment, it is, let me see.
I'm looking at
If you committed a crime against, let me see, the 14th, let me see. God, it hurts my heart. Yeah, go ahead. The 14th Amendment is, you have it, Laurie?
Yes. No state shall make or enforce any law which shall abridge the privileges or immunities of citizens of the United States, nor shall any state deprive any person of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor deny to any person within its jurisdiction the equal protection of the laws. That's what it says.
Okay, I was trying to figure out why they threw that in there. I can understand now. Okay.
And the other thing that I wanted to say about the other story that I told in the beginning, it's obvious that Kate Cox had the means and the money to be able to, first of all, you know, get a lawyer and then, you know, petition the court, because that's all expensive. I am sure that it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then from there, be able to leave, you know, and go to another hospital. I don't know if they take her insurance or not, and that's another question.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just saying,
mm-hmm.
if you are poor, you know, you probably do not get that same, you know, you may not find a lawyer to help you. You know, you may not make it to the court is what I'm trying to say. So, you know, that comes to play as well. You know, if you're financially able to do something like she was able to do, you know, that's another thing you have to think about. And this prison one is horrendous. That is just beyond negligent. And I hope they win the case. And I hope that it, you know, puts a black eye on Texas more than it already is for all the reasons we know about.
You know what, if Trump is elected in 2024, you know, this will be the last election in the history of the United States.
Yeah.
You know, let's put it that way, you know.
Yeah.
And Trump going around in Iowa and wherever else in his Nazi-type rally saying that, oh, he ended Roe versus Wade, you know, and he thinks that's a good thing, and people at these rallies, you know, clapping, applauding, and, you know, making noise at morons. Don't they realize that
Republicans aren't for freedom, whether freedom for choice, freedom of expression. You know, what is wrong with these people? Why do they support such a moron like Donald Trump? Somebody explain that to me. You know, one person recently, not today, but recently, you know, when I say, hey, you know, I have this little podcast and blog and everything, and, you know, we're trying not to let Republicans go in there. And then you know what this person said to me? Oh, no, but he's at the second coming of Jesus, you know, and God ordained him to be president. I'm like, okay, have a great day, you know, I'll just walk. I'm like, no, I cannot do this with these people. It just drives me crazy. Second coming of Jesus?
Yeah, no. He is maybe of the devil or something. I don't know if you believe in all that. But what I'm saying also is there is an urgency in this country that I don't know if people are understanding the urgency. It isn't just abortion rights. And we chose abortion rights tonight because of these stories. And just to show how if you, you know, you have to vote, you know, pro-women. You have to vote for women's rights. And you have to vote for Democrats for that reason. Just hold your nose and do it. I don't know what else to say unless down the road you have a daughter or a grandchild or someone close to you that needs an abortion and can't have one. And you didn't vote the way you should have voted. You voted Republican for whatever reason because you are a because you're conservative, so to speak, then you're going to be making a big mess, going to destroy many more lives. And we probably don't even know half of the stories that have – half of the things that have happened to women in this country since this nightmare began, since Roe versus Wade was overturned. So
this afternoon they were talking about taking – I don't know the name of the pill. I've never had to take it, but it is it's been nicknamed the morning after pill, but it's a little bit more. It is more complicated than that. This particular medication is given for other things that a woman is going through. I've gone through enough female stuff. I'm kind of glad I don't know what this pill is for, but it is supposed to be a very highly recommended pill for specific female problems. And these son of a bitch and goddamn Republican men want to take it off the market.
It is called Mifepristone. Mifepristone. And
I apologize for the swearing, but you know what? I have held it in all week. I can't take it anymore. I cannot take this. This is ridiculous. You can't even get the proper medication to become pregnant.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a bunch of men who are probably out catting around in the cat house, and they're going to tell the rest of the women what to do.
Yep.
They're checking one another. They're checking their son's computer for porn, and they're going to and Johnson's going to tell women what to do.
Yeah.
And if Texas wants to secede from the Union, go ahead. You stole Texas from Mexico, anyways.
Yep.
This is how angry I am.
Oh, you're not alone.
I know I'm not.
You're not alone. Mm-hmm. And thing is that I just want to, I feel like just going around and just shaking people, you know, wake up. Do you realize what's happening in this country? Wake up. You know, we're just a step away from being, you know, a dictatorship. You know, you guys, I don't know, do these people maybe don't believe that Trump would really be a dictator? Do they not understand that there is a whole plan called Project 2025 that has taken 18 months to put together that will destroy this country? Like David said, we will never have another election because he'll be there till he dies. Not a joke. And when
he croaks and then we're going to get a cokehead son of his, Don Jr.
Yeah. Yeah, it's
we're going to get a queen illegal Melania.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
She didn't become a citizen legally.
No, she
and
didn't.
Neither did her parents.
Actually, Melania was fast tracked. She had this thing called the Einstein, the genius visa. What kind of genius was she? A stripper? A softcore porn actress. What genius is Melania Trump, really? You know, I guess she have the needle eye vagina that Trump loves. And that's a genius scholarship she got or whatever, a genius green card. You know, it's all ridiculous. And people who vote Republican, you know, if the cast of this foolishness that Republicans put in, then, you know, I don't know what to say, really, because, you know, it's like talking to a wall, a brick wall, really, when you're trying to reason with people and say,
well,
hey,
isn't there another young lady that that has run into trouble where she had a miscarriage and panicked? I think we talked about it the last show.
In Ohio.
She sat on the toilet and ended up with a miscarriage.
Yep.
And now they want to prosecute her for murder.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. For doing something to the corpse. Abusing a corpse.
Mishandling the corpse.
They're out of control. They're sick. Something wrong with Republicans. I mean, people who vote for Republicans, then.
And then Johnson says that it's a woman's duty to have one male child.
Mm-hmm.
No,
mm-hmm.
Not the male child that can work.
What, Laura, you're cutting in and out. What, hon?
To have a child. It's every woman's duty to have a child so that they can
work. A healthy-bodied child.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Something like that. And the other thing that I would like everyone to note, Josh Hawley, right? Everyone knows the pump sister, Jeff Hawley. Okay,
mm-hmm.
His wife, her name is Erin Morrow Hawley. She's an attorney, and she is very much pro-life. And she is charging the ban. Now, she's the one that started the whole lawsuit thing, it's in court now, so she started in the beginning to ban the abortion pill. And she is the one that, I'll just read what it says. As I am so fed up with these people, I can't even think anymore. I've been so, on edge, and I'm usually not. I'm a pretty calm person, but I feel like people are just not paying attention. And I feel like I'm sometimes just like talking and no one listens. And I watch, you know, the news, and I feel like all they do is talk about Trump 24/7. And our democracy is on fire and no one's putting it out. Where are the Democrats? Why aren't they screaming from the rooftops? But anyways, so she is the one that started the whole abortion pill thing, and now it's in court, and she is a big pro-life person, which is fine. That's her thing. But why is it her business to start this, and now it's in the courts, and this pill has been on the market for 20 years, and it's safe. It's FDA approved. So what's the problem here? I mean,
because they're of the view that the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. Look at 19 Kids and Counting, that madness right there, where they had a reality show on TLC, where this woman, you know, keep having babies after baby after baby for years. You know, to me, that's a sickness, you know. And with the oldest child, the son Josh, raping a couple of the younger sisters and everything. You know, I mean, you know, this Josh Hawley and Erin Hawley, according to this Vanity Fair magazine article, say they're partners in this crusade. You know what crusade? Mm-hmm. The crusade to torture women and everything. And, you know, the Republicans better be careful, because we saw in 2023, the off-air election, how they treated women like assholes, like pure assholes, and demeaned them and everything. And women got so fed up. Looking at Ohio, it's now enshrined in their constitution that, you know, a woman has the right to have an abortion if she chooses to do so, no matter what. And it's nobody's business. You know, and what's more big government than the government trying to go inside a woman's bedroom, a woman's womb, to say, hey, you know, God, perfect example. A couple of years back, well, I think it was 2012, when Claire McCaskill in Missouri was running for re-election, and that guy, I can't remember his name now, he's since deceased, may he burn in hell, he's saying, you know, if a woman is raped, then the body can shut down and not cause her to get pregnant. Aiken, I can't remember what Aiken his name is. Our next one from Missouri, I can't remember his name. I know, you know, I tend not to remember assholes like that name. They're saying things like, oh, you know, if a woman is raped and she get pregnant, then it's God's will and she should have that baby. Now, which woman in her right mind would have a molester and a rapist, you know, carry a full-term baby?
One of those assholes made this comment in about the same time span, that a woman wouldn't get pregnant unless she was enjoying the rape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who
do
they think they are?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
The other...
I guess men like him think that, you know, you have to have an orgasm to get pregnant. I don't know. You know, these people are just so twisted in the mind. I can't fathom them. I can't understand them. I tried really hard, tried talking to them, but it's just like talking to a brick wall. You know, for my own sanity, I've stopped. You know?
You know, there are 60 countries that have legalized abortion. 60 countries. There's only three... joined only three countries that are now that, you know, make abortion illegal. What does that tell you? And that is a sign in my eyes, this rollback of Roe versus Wade, and this is how I look at it, is that that our democracy is in trouble. It's in trouble. It really is. Think about it for a second. How long have we had, you know, been able to have abortions in this country? 50 years. Our democracy is in peril. I don't care about, I don't care if someone tells me that they're conservative Christian. Our democracy is in peril. Do you enjoy your freedom the way it is today? And it's not only, and it is not only abortion, it's LGBTQ rights. It's, they want, it's our public education. They want to take our country back to an era that we will not recognize. Saying this because I'm trying to scare people. I am saying this because we have researched this enough that we know that what they're saying is what they're going to do. And this is what Trump has been saying for the last month. He's been talking about being a dictator. That's what he's been talking about.
So is Johnson, because of the fact that they kept saying states' rights, states' rights. Then Johnson said, has made the statement, I can't quote it, but it alluded to the fact that there's going to be a national abortion ban.
Yes, they did. It will be.
So what happened to states' rights? I mean, I don't care which way a person turns, whether it's women, you better wake up. Whether you live in Michigan or whether you live in Ohio, now where you went to the polls and you voted, that's going to be taken away from you. If you if you can be a one-subject voter, and that's guns, and have children be killed in school, I think we can be a one-subject voter and vote for our rights as a woman.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes, so I want to share there to people who are listening. You know, search this up. Genesis 2, verse 7, and I quote, life begins at first breath. So how the hell did they miss that in the Bible? Genesis 2, verse 7, it says life begins at first breath. That's what the Bible said. So, you know, a fetus being in there, being developed and everything, that's not a full baby, especially when it's like 12 weeks, 15 weeks. They want to have a ban on 15-week abortion. Some women don't even know that they're pregnant at 15 weeks. You know, so these Republicans are trying to play God. They're trying to play, you know, like, I'm frustrated with them. So Nikki Haley, she is hot.
Oh,
right,
that's another one. I'd like to slap that bitch.
And she and the governor of New Hampshire, Chris Sununu, had a sit-down recently with CNN. I'm going to play a little bit of it and everything, and hopefully we can take away a few things from this. You know, is Nikki Haley a flip-flop on abortion? You know, what's her stance really? Because 1 minute she's saying one thing, next minute she's saying another thing, and she's trying to appease, you know, independent voters. She's trying to, you know, saying that, oh, yeah, she's pro-choice or she's pro-rights or pro-baby rights. Which one is she, really? So Dana Bash from CNN had a sit-down, she and Chris Sununu, the governor of New Hampshire, and here, this is how it went.
Let's talk about a couple of policy issues. You call yourself pro-choice on abortion. You call yourself pro-life. Was that an issue that gave you pause at all, your difference on that before endorsing?
No, I have to tell you, I think when it comes to the abortion issue, no one has answered the question as well as Nikki Haley. I mean, unquestionably. In fact, it's one of the number one positives I hear from both pro-choice and pro-life people, that she's exactly where it needs to be. She's pro-life, and that's great. But at the end of the day, this is going to be a state issue, as the court has said. That's the way it's going to play out. So the idea that you're going to try to claim, well, that Washington's going to fix this and Washington's going to fix that on the abortion issue, I think that Governor Haley understands this is a state issue now, and states are going to have to, and the voters are going to have more say in that process, as they should.
I want to talk to you a little bit about what is happening in Texas with a 31-year-old. Her name is Kate Cox. She's a mother of two. She's pregnant. She's told that her fetus has a fatal issue, a congenital issue, and if she carried the baby to term, the baby would likely die, and she might not be able to have children in the future, and it would be a potential health risk. You say that politicians need to humanize this issue more. If you were governor of the state of Texas, or if this was happening on your watch, how would you make it more human to let Kate Cox deal with this?
Well,
she had to leave the state.
I don't know the exact details of the Texas law, but what I do know is, one, my heart breaks for her. As someone who struggled to have children, my heart absolutely breaks for her. But this is what I'm talking about. When I say we need to have compassion, this is exactly what I'm talking about. When you look at someone's experience, we should never want to see someone with a rare condition who has to deliver a baby any more than we should want to see a mom have an abortion at 37, 38, 39. Mm-hmm. How do you turn that compassion you talk about?
Let me pause it right there. 38, 39 weeks pregnant and a woman wants to abort a baby. That does not happen. It never happens.
No.
What is she talking about? You know?
The only talking point they have, because they throw that out there and think people they're telling the truth. They're not telling the truth. If someone does not want to have a child, if you get pregnant, you have an oops, or you're raped, or you have incest, whatever it is, you know within a few weeks after you're pregnant if you want to keep that baby or not. You know in your heart what you want to do. No one can tell me any different. As a woman, I know that. So she's talking out of her ass, okay? That's all I've got to say.
Yeah.
Who would go through, pregnancy in
itself.
You know,
this is the same law. This is very similar to the lie that Reagan started, and they perpetuated it. Remember the black woman in the Cadillac with the fur coat getting her food stamps?
Yes.
Well, they perpetuated
yeah.
this bullshit about a partial birth abortion, and that's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if any
yeah,
doctor did a partial birth abortion, they would go to jail for killing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And Speaker Johnson, I played it a couple of shows back, this clip where he was speaking to a doctor, it was a congressional hearing, and reproductive health, and he was making a point, a really silly argument, that, you know, a woman giving birth and everything, and she wants to abort the baby in the middle of giving birth. That has never happened. That will never happen. And that's just crazy. And a doctor herself, a professional in the field for over 30 years, saying that has never happened. And, you know, it was hypothetical as he's talking about. And then he has nerve to mansplain and chastise her, you know, talking down to her. You know, I mean, this is what the Republican Party is turning into.
Yeah.
We'll go back to the video and everything with Dana Bash speaking with Nikki Haley and Chris Sununu, who has more of New Hampshire and everything. But we'll have another caller here from the Commonwealth of Virginia. Khalil, welcome to the show. What's cooking? What's your perspective?
My perspective is we need to be more consistent. I mean, the right wing needs to be more consistent. They really do.
Mm-hmm.
And like...
Mm-hmm.
What Elaine, I forgot her name, from Michigan, she said was true. But the problem is they don't see their own hypocrisy when it actually comes to guns versus abortion. But, you know, let an actor do something like fire a fake gun in the movie and before gun control, all of a sudden they're a hypocrite. Now, like I said, I don't know if I said this before. If you are calling out actual hypocrisy, but you're not saying your own, that's bad enough, but I'll give you a pass. But if you're going to call someone a hypocrite for firing fake guns in movies, then you're not going to see your own hypocrisy on abortion and guns. Something is really wrong, and you need to be called out for that. Because every time someone calls it out, they always try to say it's a different story and it's a straw man and all that stuff. It's like, you can't, I told one of these people like that on YouTube because they were saying, someone was saying, well, people want to ban guns. People want to ban immigrants, but they don't want to ban guns. And someone says a straw man. I pointed that out. What I was saying to you now is like, you can't say it's a straw man because any other time, if it was the other way around, the other party, you'd be calling them a hypocrite. So it's the same thing with abortion. And I was telling you, I called out Steven Crowder for that because he wanted to say that other people that didn't want Muslim bans were hypocrites, but they want gun control. But for him to say that and then turn around and say it's not hypocrisy to want abortion, but on abortion bans but not gun control, that's hypocrisy itself.
Yeah, well, the thing is, with Stephen Crowder, when anybody listens to Stephen Crowder, like they do Sean Hannity and whichever right-wing nut job is out there on the air, you know, one's brain tends to rot, you know? And Stephen Crowder has no integrity. He has no common sense. He's not afraid to even debate Anna Kasparian from the Young Turks because, you know, he's afraid that this little woman will just twist him up and make him look like even a more fool than he is. You know, so anything Crowder says, we have to take it with a grain of salt because he's running competition with Donald Trump basically in terms of stupidity, you know.
Right.
He's just throwing things against the wall, hoping it would stick and everything. And he's gullible people who listen to him. I'm not calling you gullible. You know, it's good to listen to different sources and everything. But, you know, it's just like a rat to the brain when you hear these right-wingers, you know, talking about things and preaching and say, hey, don't do this. But behind closed doors, when it come public, you know, they're doing the very same thing that they're preaching against. Example, the Republican Party chairman of Florida and his wife, you know, who's part of a school board and what have you. And they're evangelical, born-again Christians. Good for them, you know? but her best friend for years and her husband were having a threesome. Hey, if you all have that in the bedroom, knock yourself out. Have all the threesome sex you want. Hey, have a freaking orgy. I don't care. But what a problem I have is when these two people hit note against LGBTQ people, against people's lifestyles and choices, but yet still behind closed doors, they're doing the very same thing they're hitting out against. And allegedly, the best friend said that the husband raped her against her will and everything. Yeah. So it's, you know, I mean, these Republicans, it happened time and time and time again, where, you know, these hypocrites get exposed. We saw Larry Craig, the U.S. Senator, former U.S. Senator from Idaho, where he was toe-tapping. He was a toe-tapping fool at the airport. And it was an undercover cop who arrested him for trying to, like, moonlight for gay sex, you know? And this man, Larry Craig, the former senator from Idaho, was the biggest crusader against LGBTQ rights, but yet still he was an LGBTQ in the closet. The Republican Party should stop it. You know, they should stop it. I could give you tons of examples of this. But, you know, I'll take up three shows of that, and, you know.
Right. And it's the same, I feel also about abortion, it's like these people do not care about kids either. Because when it comes to actual things that protect kids, like when you've actually looked at things like, I don't know if anybody's read James Dobson. Anybody knows him?
No.
Ooh, what's his name?
James Dobson.
Oh, yes, Family Research Council, James Dobson.
Yeah. No, that's Focus on the Family. Focus on the Family.
Focus on the Family. Very good.
I'm not against spanking, but I'm against the type he wants. He wants, like, to spank for throwing up, even if it's an accident, spanking just till there's bruises, and spanking, if they cry or anything like that. And this is the same guy that's against abortion. It's like you're for kids' rights in the womb, but you're not for kids' rights as far as not abusing the type of spanking you're doing. He's another one of those. So that's why when they talk about women, they talk about children as far as like abortion in the transgender bathroom, it kind of makes my blood boil because they're just using kids to go against going against someone else's rights, but when it comes to actually defending them, you know, they don't want to actually defend them when it's actual stuff that's actually needed. And that's what makes me kind of mad with people. They do it with anybody. The right-wingers do it with anybody. They'll use someone to go against another group, but when it comes to stuff that actually is beneficial to them, they don't care. Because I even called Ann Coulter for that stuff, too, because she was saying blacks owe women, gays, LGBTQ, immigrants, nothing, but then she's defending what happened to Trayvon Martin. She was actually, like, doing things like, other things that were racist towards African Americans, and she was even denying the Africans and the African Americans how they were equally, you know, the same. So it's like, you don't get to do that and then try to use us to go against other people.
Yeah, and how I see Ann Coulter, really. Ann Coulter is one of those women. Sometimes you wonder how she sleep at night, upside down in human skin. This woman is evil. You know, she's like a version of Adolf Hitler, but with a vagina. You know, I wonder what it is like to be a real-life supervillain, Ann Coulter, you know? And she thinks she's cute and she's funny, but she's not. She's hideous. She's hateful. She's like an abomination, you know? Just looking at her, I'm
Is she still a libertarian?
Is she a libertarian? I have no idea. I think she's a conservative. That's what she said. In a couple of her books, I think Mein Kampf being the latest book she put out and everything, an updated version of Mein Kampf. But this idiot woman is just god-awful. And it surprised me that I recently found out that she dated for many years that actor who was in Good Times, a TV show, who played JJ. how can she be so hateful against African Americans? And she dated one for many years. I just don't compute that, really. You know?
Yeah.
These people, you cannot figure them out. When you try to have a conversation with them, it's like a perfect example. Three shows ago, Minnesota Mike, he's a born-again Christian. He was originally from a continental Africa. I don't know which African nation. And he was going on about Christianity, and he, you know, got saved and baptized and blah, blah, blah. He's trying to preach to us, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all well and good, but don't force your beliefs on other people, because there are different religions in America. There are different, you know, non-beliefs in America. You know, so this is what these right-wingers do, you know. To try to preach to you and look down on you and speak down to you, you know, and that is not what America's about, you know. Free speech is great, but with that free speech comes responsibility, you know. So this hateful shit with Crowder and Ann Coulter, and especially Donald Trump, we're going to put an end to it once and for all. And believe you me, he's sowing seeds now. To saying that if he loses election, it was stolen by Joe Biden and Democrats. He did it with Hillary, and God knows we know how he pulled it off and won, quote unquote won. It was the help of Russia, you know. So, and it's just baffling, mind baffling that people still vote Republican, you know, especially in the South where. You know, in Kentucky, Alabama, Louisiana, places like that, who have been dirt poor and been voting Republicans for decades and are still poor, even worse poor now, and they don't learn. It's like you can't say anything to those people. They're just part of the cult, you know. Wish them well and just keep it moving. That's what I do.
And some of them are just as bad as the people that they vote for. Not all of them, but some of them, like, I know there's a guy that's in Benghazi Rabbit, from Richmond, he is he double speaks too. Like he talks about the indoctrination of children and all that stuff. But when they say, well, hey, there's a lot of kids around here. You can't curse around. He's like, F the kids. And I'm like, if you're gonna say F the kids, I'm like, F you too. And he basically him and Sean Porter, like. They are basically, they say that they have a disdain for this generation. And it's like, you can't have a disdain and say stuff like that and then talk about an indoctrination. Because he has his own agenda. He goes against cops, don't do anything to Antifa, and just he just provokes cops all the time. And that's the problem with both. I'm not saying the Republican, the conservative Republican or liberal, I'm saying the right wing, the fringe on both sides. If you go against cops and you are a conservative or you are racist, they support you. But if you go against cops and you actually defend, you know, you actually have been victimized by the police, they don't defend you. And I'm getting this. It just makes me wonder if there's a lot of fringe right-wingers on YouTube, right-wingers and anarchists on YouTube.
David, can I ask Khalil a question?
Yeah,
sure. Go ahead.
Khalil, myself, I want to put it. Do you think we could end this abortion discussion politically with the right wing if the women would demand that men would have vasectomies? How do you think the men would react, Khalil, if it was mandatory that a man had to have a vasectomy?
I don't know. I'm hoping that they were smart enough and it would end the abortion thing and they would realize that it's nobody's business and it's nobody's business, but it's also everybody can't take care of a kid, so I'm hoping they were smart enough and it would end the abortion thing. But I really don't know, because it's hard to say.
Khalil, let's play a little game here. Pretend that I'm a right winger. I'm adamant for pro-life, and I'm telling you, Khalil, that you have to have a vasectomy. Would that anger you?
It would.
How would you feel?
I would feel...
violated?
Yeah.
Okay. This is where us women are coming from, and we hope
yeah.
that the men out there will back us at the polls.
I'll
yep.
thank you.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Thank you, for your input, Khalil. I wanted a man's perspective on how he would feel if somebody said that he had to go in and have a vasectomy.
Right. Elaine, my thing is, if the law was equal, and if a woman can't have an abortion because of the law, they got rid of Roe versus Wade, and I say, hey, you know, men should have a vasectomy, you know, I bet you any money that, you know, abortion would be ready and available at every street corner, like there was a 7-Eleven, you know? It's all about power and control of these people.
You're probably very
yeah.
right.
yeah, it's
yep.
about power and control, and leaving women barefoot and pregnant and uneducated.
I mean, you know, I'm putting the shoe on the other foot. If you want to demand
mm-hmm.
what a woman has to do, maybe the women should
mm-hmm.
demand what a man has to do.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe
yeah.
right-wing men would feel violated.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But good for the goose,
yeah.
good for the gander, as they say.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's move
mm-hmm.
on now, because, you know, the abortion rights across the United States, you know, let's see where abortion rights, where the stand in different states and everything. So California, Nevada, Oregon, Washington State, New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, Minnesota, Illinois, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Virginia, New York, and all of New England, with D.C. and Puerto Rico and Virgin Islands, they're all legal to have an abortion in those places.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
In the South mostly, and in the Bible Belt, you know, abortion is banned after 12 to 13 weeks. In Florida alone, it is banned after 15 to 18 weeks. We saw how DeSantis signed that bill, that crazy-ass
yeah.
bill, and, you know, went through the state legislature, you know, within record time, I think within 24 hours, and was on his desk the third day, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see, Alaska, Guam, and where else? The different protectorates in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Puerto Rico is pro-choice. You know, it's like, why? Okay, I lost some trail of thought there. So there's a ban in Montana, Wyoming, Iowa, in these states where women cannot, under any circumstances, have an abortion. That's Montana,
mm-hmm.
Wyoming, and Iowa. And it's being disputed in Wisconsin and everything.
Wisconsin, too.
Yeah, Wisconsin is disputed, abortion.
Yeah.
You
mm-hmm.
know, 1.3 million women are of reproductive age in Wisconsin, for example. And an abortion ban from 1849 is still on the books. But a judge ruled
mm-hmm.
in July 2023 that this does not apply to what's called consensual abortions. Some abortion providers resumed performing the procedure in September 2023. So it's in dispute
mm-hmm.
now in Wisconsin because of a stupid 1849 law that's still on the books.
Yep.
You know? And it's preposterous,
yep.
really, because women have come a long way since 1849, and it's her
yep.
body, her choice. In Iowa, you know, an abortion ban is blocked, and the current limit is after 22 weeks. 686,000 women are of reproductive age in the state of Iowa, and Iowa has passed a 6-week ban, but that ban has been frozen through litigation, exceptions for rape and or incest.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Again,
yep.
these culture wars and everything, and these rights that women fought for many years ago to get Roe versus Wade. So the Republicans and the evangelicals and these morons and the right, do they think that banning abortion will really stop abortion? If anything, it will be less safe. You know, it will back to the back you know, the backdoor abortions, where the back alleys and everything.
Yes. The woman that wants an abortion will find a way to get an abortion. That's just how it mm-hmm. is. You know?
Mm.
I mean, everyone has to think of it this way. You know, if you want an abortion and you can't get one and you're forced to give birth to a child that you did not want, how do you think mm-hmm. that child's life is going to be? Especially if mm-hmm. you were raised incest.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of life will that child have? It won't have mm-hmm. a good life. I mean, mm-hmm. think about it. Because every time the mom looks at that child, she's going to look and, you know, remember, oh, I was raped. You are a child of rape and or incest. That's even worse. I don't even know what's worse. They're both horrific. So how can anyone with a logical brain not mm-hmm. allow something like that? Who would want that mm-hmm. in their life? It is a life sentence. You might as well put someone in prison for the rest of their life because that's what you're doing to someone mm-hmm. that doesn't mm-hmm. would rape your incest, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. We thank Khalil for calling in tonight, and we thank Susie, who had to go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But let's look at the places that have a full, you know, or a limited ban on abortion. Not limited. What am I saying? Mm-hmm. So states ban abortion for conception after 6 weeks. They allow for abortions in cases of medical emergencies, but that language can shift from state to state. For example, while some states say abortions are permitted to protect someone's quote-unquote health, other states only allow them if someone's life is threatened. So many abortion providers have said that many exceptions for medical emergencies are unworkable in practice because language is too vague and doesn't recognize the complexity of medicine. In Alabama, Alabama has a ban on contraception, or a ban after conception, I should say, sorry. You know, and, you know, Alabama, Sweet Home Alabama, the highest rate of incest in the United States, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So God knows what's happening there. Women don't have access to contraception. So you mm-hmm. have cousin kissing cousin and doing much more with cousin and everything. And, you know, population explode. You know, not to mention incest and rape, you know. But we're not going to get there tonight. That's a totally different show and so on. American Samoa, abortion is banned after contraception, just like in Arkansas, mm-hmm. in Idaho. And the Justice Department has sued Idaho. The Idaho ban, arguing that it violates federal law that dictates how hospitals treat patients in emergencies. So rather than clearly allowing abortions in cases of medical emergencies, Idaho's ban gives providers what's known as an affirmative defense. That is, if they are charged, providers can use a threat to a patient's health as a defense in court, with the exception of rape and incest, and only if reported in law enforcement. So backward-ass Idaho, you know, hate women, just like how Florida and Alabama hate women. In Indiana, they have an abortion, a ban after conception. Unlike many of these bi-rebel states, they don't allow for birth control, the ban birth control. If it's not banned, it's so goddamn expensive, women can't afford it, you know. Kentucky is another one. So in November 2022, voters rejected a ballot initiative that would have established that Kentucky's state constitution does not recognize abortion rights. You know, so the people at Kentucky, is that they never learn. Since 1982 till now, they have Mitch McConnell as U.S. Senator. And what has he done? He went in as one of the poorest people in all of Congress, and now he's the second richest person in Congress. Do the math, people. Do the math. Republicans don't give a shit about you. Let's see. Louisiana. In 2020, Louisiana voters agreed to amend the state's constitution to clarify that it does not support abortion rights. And Louisiana, like Mississippi, come almost last in every category in the United States. Mm-hmm. So that says a lot about Louisiana as a state. You know, speaking of the devil, Mississippi, there are almost 700,000 women of reproductive age and everything. And Mississippi is almost 50th in every category. So it's like that stuck back in the 1860s, or pre-Civil War, where black people just looked down upon. Their prime industry is a cotton picking industry. That's how backward Mississippi is. You know, so we get women's rights in the 21st century, you know. We're not even going to debate that and everything. So Missouri is in the dark ages again. There were progressive ones when I had Claire McCaskill and other Democratic senators and congresspeople there. But for some reason, Missouri just turned the other way. I don't know what happened, but get it together, Missouri, for real.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yes, ma'am. Feel free to continue, Lori.
Oh,
do you have the list there with you?
Yes, I have everything here. North Dakota, abortion is banned after conception. There's 171,000 women reproductive age, and their exceptions are rape, incest. Only in the first six. That's nice of them, isn't that?
You don't even know you're pregnant.
Yeah, very nice.
Sometimes you don't know you're pregnant at 6 weeks. Whoever, you know, put that exception in there is stupid. Sometimes you don't know you're pregnant. Some women just don't know because of their menstrual cycle. Okay, North Dakota? The Northern Mariana Islands, abortion is banned after conception. They have 11,000 women of reproductive age. How about Oklahoma? Abortion is banned after conception. 886,000 women of reproductive age. South Dakota, same thing. Banned after conception. 187 women of reproductive age. And then we have Tennessee. Abortion is banned after conception. 1.6 million women of reproductive age. Texas. We talked about Texas. Now, Texas has 7 women of reproductive age. Now, if the women of Texas got together and all voted Democrat for one issue, just one issue, women of Texas, you know you can turn your state around. You know that. You can get under the away from the claws of these abortion crazy people, non-abortion crazy people. Do you know that? West Virginia, abortion is banned after conception. 371,000 women of reproductive age, minors who are victims of rape and or incest can get an abortion up until 14 weeks of pregnancy as long as they have either reported the assault to the law enforcement or received medical treatment for it. Exceptions. Rape and or incest is if reported to law enforcement and only within the first 8 weeks of pregnancy. West Virginia. Georgia. Abortion is banned after 6 weeks. 2.6 million of reproductive age. Exceptions, rape and or incest, only if reported to law enforcement.
And the
South
same
Carolina.
Thing for South Carolina.
Go ahead.
Yeah, the same thing applies to South Carolina as it do in Georgia. And in Nebraska, rape and incest are the exceptions in Nebraska because we all know a couple of years back, Nebraska had a ballot initiative where, you know, should they enshrine in their constitution, just like Ohio did recently, about a woman's right to choose. And Nebraska, who's conservative to the core, have voted for to keep women's, you know, women's rights in terms of reproductive care. So, you know, Nebraska is not uptight like Texas or places like Idaho, you know, in terms of, you know, women having a choice. You know, North Carolina bans it after 12 weeks. Guam, the protectorate, 13 weeks. Arizona, 15 weeks. Florida has banned that for 15 weeks, and Florida Supreme Court is considering whether to let the state's 15-week ban remain in effect. But however, if the court rules to let the 15-week ban remain, a 6-week ban will take effect shortly afterwards. You know, so they move from 15-week ban to 6 weeks. And again, you don't know if you're pregnant within 6 weeks. You get what I'm saying?
Of course.
These people are out of their fucking minds.
Yep.
You know?
How can you ban abortion after conception?
Mm-hmm.
That means, that means that if you... that means if you don't use any contraceptives, then you might have concepted, so therefore you can't have an abortion. So in other words, no abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, that's the way I read that.
And all these states have all these, you know, every state is kind of different. They have all different exceptions. So, you know, it's the luck of the in which state you live in. I mean, we're lucky here in Michigan. I know New Mexico is the same as Michigan. We could go through the states where it's legal because, you know, that would be good. Let's go. Oh, we forgot Utah. Utah, abortion is banned after 18 weeks. They have 811,000 women reproductive age in Utah. States that are, let's say, legal. While some abortion-friendly states do outlaw abortion after specific week in pregnancy, others ban it after fetal viability. Fetal viability occurs at the point at which a fetus can survive outside of the womb. And while it's a benchmark that can take place at different points of pregnancy, it generally happens around 24 weeks. So they have actually dissected what it sounds like to me, you know, a woman's right to choose into little chunks, you know, and it's sickening to me because it's a very simple thing. If you want to be pregnant, you will stay pregnant. If you want a child, you will stay pregnant. If you have made a plan to get pregnant, you will stay pregnant. Of course, unless there is something happens in your pregnancy. That's a whole different story. But I'm just saying, women that want to be pregnant will stay pregnant. They won't think about having an abortion. What is wrong with having your right to choose if you want to be pregnant or not pregnant? There's nothing wrong with that. I'm so annoyed.
It comes down to control. Now, when abortion was legal, Hobby Lobby, which is a right-wing-owned company, would not okay health insurance if contraceptives were bought. Now, isn't that control?
Yeah.
Isn't that control over a woman?
It's all control.
Yep.
All of it. The whole is control. It's the whole issue is someone else telling you in your home what you can do with your body. That's what it's about. That's all it's about. Telling you that you don't have a right to your own body to do what you want with it. That's what it is. And that has got to stop. It has to stop.
Yeah. Yeah. So going on in the legal states, Virginia, California, Connecticut, Delaware, Hawaii, Illinois, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Nevada, New Hampshire, New York, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, U.S. Virgin Islands, Washington State, Kansas, Ohio, Alaska, Colorado, New Jersey, New Mexico, Oregon, Puerto Rico, Vermont, and Washington, D.C. So in Oregon, they have total autonomy, you know, to do whatever with their bodies and everything. It's very progressive. And in Colorado, in 2022, Colorado State Legislature enacted the Reproductive Health Equity Act, which enshrines right to abortion and contraception in state law. In Alaska, state's constitution recognized a right to an abortion. The state's highest court rule in 1997. It's a good one, Alaska. Keep it going. In Ohio, mm-hmm. in 2023, Ohioans voted to enshrine abortion in the state's constitution. Like we discussed, and you know what these Republicans doing? Trying to make a law to overturn that what people voted for, enshrinement yep. of abortion rights in the constitution. You know, tell me mm-hmm. that's not authoritarianism. Tell me that's mm-hmm. not Nazi-like. You know, Hitler would be proud.
It is. And that is what that is the point, the other point we're trying to make is that we are marching towards a dictatorship. We are marching mm-hmm. towards losing rights. And people mm-hmm. better wake up. Just wake up.
Mm-hmm.
Just pay attention. I don't know how else to say it. I know everyone's mm-hmm, busy in their mm-hmm. life. Everyone's busy. But you have to take the time because our freedoms are at stake. How else can we put it? Our freedom mm-hmm. is at
stake. Yeah.
Still there?
So, yeah, I don't know. Laura, you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, because, you know, your last part cut out and everything. So, Illinois.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Illinois law protects the right to abortion. The Illinois State Supreme Court has also ruled that the state's constitution protects the rights to abortion. In California, in November 2022, Californians, like in Michigan, voted to explicitly add the rights to an abortion and contraception in the state's constitution. You know, so those are different places that, you know, allow women to have an abortion if they choose to have an abortion.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, and, you know, they want to make it sound like these Republicans want to make it sound like you're a bad person if you don't want to be pregnant, or if it was, you know, a mistake. You know, sometimes things happen and you become pregnant and you really never wanted to be pregnant. Things happen.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
what is it that makes them so high and mighty? What is it that makes them think that they can tell women what they can and cannot do with their bodies? What is it?
The Bible. The Bible said so.
Yeah,
God speaks to them.
Yeah,
according to
right.
them, God speaks to them, you know, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you think
I'm sure that women, you know, should be, do as they're told. That's according to, you know, according to Republican men. And how, mm-hmm. you know, Republican women think as well. I should submit to mm-hmm. their husbands.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just, it's sad that this is what this country's coming to. It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't let that happen. We have to, mm-hmm. you know, keep talking about it, try to engage with people, try to, explain to them. There has got to be, everyone has a different issue. Some people are upset about student loans. Some people are upset about, you know, the climate change. Some people want, what else is there out there right now? Climate change, green energy,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. abortion rights. I mean, everyone has their little, I guess, their little pet thing that they would like to vote for. And
mm-hmm.
follow what I'm saying? Find things that
mm-hmm.
people want to vote for a Democrat. There are so many
mm-hmm.
reasons why you vote for a Democrat. Vote blue. There's so many reasons right now. So we
mm-hmm.
have to try
mm-hmm.
to explain to people as to why they need to vote blue this time, even if they're
mm-hmm.
a conservative.
I know. That's what I'm noticing and everything. So, okay, we'll have limited time here. Lori, for some reason, mm-hmm. you keep cutting out. I don't know what's happening.
Yeah,
I have 30 minutes left.
Yeah.
So this thing about abortion, they kill Republicans in 2024. They're on the wrong side of segregation, like they're on the wrong side of women's rights. they're on the wrong side of history in most things, if not everything. And one would learn that after 2022, when they got a shellacking, a spanking by Democrats, women turned out in droves and numbers and taught them a lesson, you know? And so it's still unresolved in the Republican field. People running for president still, they're still defending, you know, the killing, the massacring of Roe versus Wade by the Supreme Court. And the reason why it matters is because, you know, new restrictions and legal changes triggered by the Supreme Court's overturning will guarantee the abortion debate remains salient throughout the 2024 campaign. We'll see how the failed miserably. And in the past few days alone, like it started on top of the show where Kate Cox is a woman in Texas. She was blocked from getting an abortion by the Texas Supreme Court after she discovered her fetus had a fatal genetic disorder. And that gained national attention, and we're seeing women across the nation really rallying behind her and shitting on Texas for what they're doing, basically, you know, disrespecting this woman and putting her through hell. And the case has forced Texas to reckon with the human consequences of its near-total abortion ban. Ted Cruz and John Cornyn, the two U.S. senators from Texas, and other Republicans are skirtish and have refused to weigh in on this situation in Texas. So they're such cowards in everything, especially Ted Cruz. What a goddamn coward he is.
He is. He is, absolutely. And he's a hypocrite, and he's a liar. Ted Cruz has no viability. He is a piece of crap. And he's running for re-election.
I want to remember... Ted Cruz is running for re-election next year in 2024. And, you know, his seat is viewed as one of the potentials to lose and turn blue and flip. You know, so... That would be a good thing if we can get rid of Ted Cruz. Because according to the former House Speaker, John Boehner, he described Ted Cruz as Lucifer in the flesh. The own Republican. So if you know, your own Republican describing you that way, then you must be truly an asshole. And Ted Cruz is an asshole.
Yes, he is.
In Florida, activists are closely... say that again.
An arrogant one at that.
Yeah, arrogant prick. Yes, he is. Yes, he is.
Exactly.
In Florida, activists are close to gathering enough signatures to get on the referendum in next year's ballot, enshrining access to abortion in the state's constitution. Elaine and Lori, do you think it will work in Florida? Because Florida is so deep red, and it's so backward. Do you think it's possible in Florida?
If women start listening now, you can... be pro-life and go to a family planning clinic if you are trying to get pregnant and for some reason you don't know why and you are in a lower income. You can go to the family planning clinic. You can be checked out and find out why you can't get pregnant. You can also go to a family planning clinic and you can get your mammogram so that you don't get breast cancer and you're around to see grandchildren being born. Women that are pro-life, think. That clinic is also there for you. You who have decided that you want lots of children or you have been lucky and you have not had a medical emergency, or you are lucky and you have never had a miscarriage. The family planning clinic is also there for you. That's my commercial on why a woman who believes in pro-life should be out there voting blue. That's my political commercial.
You know, and that's the other thing the Republicans did. They made, you know, these planning clinics, they turned them into something, you know, dirty and disgusting, like they were doing, you know, abortions every hour on the hour, and they made it sound like, you know, the people that are in there are, sure, come on in and have abortion today. That isn't the case. That is not the case. That was another propaganda. I'm going to say it. It's all propaganda. That's a lie. It does not happen like that. It's just another place where women can go that do not have a lot of money, that do not have the money to get to go to a gynecologist or their own doctor and get the proper medical attention that they need on a yearly basis. That's it.
I had a friend that needed to go get a mammogram because she had her bouts with cancer. And she sat there and she said, I don't want to go. And she didn't have the money for a regular doctor. She just didn't have it. She was afraid to go because of the fact she would have to go through those protesters who would yell at her, spit at her, throw baby dolls at her, and tell her that, and accuse her of going for an abortion. And what she was doing is she was going for a mammogram.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Every person.
And then I also blame the media. Those were family planning clinics. And we didn't get on the bandwagon fast enough to correct their twisting of the words. They were never, it was never of an abortion clinic.
No.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, at that.
Do you remember Hadar Duval? At the time, she was 12 years old. She's now 21. And Governor Andy Beshear recently ran for re-election successfully in Deep Red, Kentucky. He's now governor for a second term. And back in the day, this poor young miss was 12 years old at the time, Hadar Duval. She was raped by a stepfather. And because abortion was legal in Kentucky, she had to pack up and go across state lines to get an abortion. Now, imagine if that child had a child, 12 years old, pregnant, give birth.
No.
Her body is not fully developed. Her mind is not fully developed. And her stepfather raped her. You know, how gross and indecent are these right-wingers to want a 12-year-old child to have a child? It sounds even sick if you even said a sentence. It makes you want to vomit.
Yes.
You know?
It does. It does make you sick to even think about something like that. Can you imagine the trauma that this girl, this young girl, this young lady went through being raped to begin with? And then to find out you're pregnant, and then you can't have an abortion? Really?
Mm-hmm.
And does she even know what an abortion is? She probably doesn't
and
know.
Even
when the
remember Ohio case, the 10-year-old girl in Ohio, where she was pregnant. You know, I mean, and threatened the doctor with disbarring him. Or her.
No,
the doctors are her, You know, these people just out of their freaking minds. They're sick. And they don't respect women. So women, if somebody don't respect you, will you vote for them? No. Follow what Nebraska does. Follow what Michigan did. Follow what the great state of New Mexico where I live did. When Republicans shit on you, you shit back on them by voting against them. Not so much voting against them, but voting for the Democrat. Because Democrats have the plan, you know. Republicans are all talk. Democrats are all action. We see it with Joe Biden, with the different legislations for the past 3 years that he's gotten through. And, you know, Democrats working on behalf of their districts and their constituents and getting work done. But no, this Republican, not Congress, but this Republican House has been the most unproductive since the Great Depression era. You know, and the Great Depression era was rife with politics. You know, at least they did some things good. But to be, you know, compared to the great deal Congress that did absolutely nothing and you being worse, that says a lot about who is in leadership in the U.S. House of Representatives. We'll have to change that, America. How you deserve better than that.
True.
You know, I keep saying that one sentence almost every show. America deserves better than that, you know?
Yeah.
You know,
I sound like a
fuck record here.
You know, people have not worked all their lives to have to live in under stress because they don't know, you know, next year, what next year is going to bring if we have Republicans
mm-hmm.
in office.
Mm-hmm.
It's not fair to put people under that stress in this country. It's awful.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone
mm-hmm.
seems like they're stressed out, really are
mm-hmm.
stressed out. And
mm-hmm.
that
mm-hmm.
has to change. We have to understand what is happening in this country. There are
mm-hmm.
a group of people, and it's a large group of people, because the list keeps growing. You know, Heritage Foundation and all these other conservative foundations that are, you know, getting on the bandwagon because they want things their way. They want to kill democracy because they want to be the rulers of this country. And if you don't believe it, look up Project 2025. And it's on our website
mm-hmm.
as well, kitchenpolitics123.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's on there. And it's broken down on there. And read it.
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And
mm-hmm.
this is what they have in store for America. Understand that.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't understand
and also
that,
did
then,
a series. We also did a
mm-hmm.
series on Project 2025. It was season
yeah.
5, episode 49, episode 50, and episode 51.
Mm-hmm.
Eric
yeah.
sat in for me the last two of those shows and everything because I was feeling sick,
right.
you know, dentist thing. But the thing is,
yeah.
you know, we'll break it down for you. We'll take the time, broke it down for you, explain what Republicans
mm-hmm.
plan. And basically
yeah.
their plan is give more tax cuts to the rich, kill gay people, close the borders completely. You know,
mm-hmm.
America is built off immigrants. No true Americans
mm-hmm.
are Native Americans. Let's just put that out there. You know, and several
yep.
other things. And the Heritage Foundation, which is very right wing, you know, Koch
yep.
brothers and whomever else are, you know, part of this this Heritage Foundation. You know, we'll have
mm-hmm.
to wake up people because Republicans really don't give a damn about this. And there was this Wall Street Journal poll recently. I think it was last week, actually. And
mm-hmm.
do you know that in this Wall Street poll, President Biden and Democrats are in virtually like behind in double digits against Republicans? And, you know, I'll protect the Wall Street Journal poll with a grain of salt because they're right-wing leaning. Rupert Murdoch owns Wall Street Journal and everything. And
mm-hmm.
in terms of the economy, inflation, crime, border security, the war in Ukraine and Gaza, and physical and mental fitness for office, according to the Wall Street Journal poll, Donald Trump is in double-digit lead over Joe Biden in all those categories. That's rubbish. Because
you know,
Donald Trump can't put two sentences together, much less.
No,
so his cognitive
can't.
Ability is shit.
Yep. He's in a meltdown. There's no doubt.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
And shame on the Wall Street Journal, I'm sorry, for even putting that out there. If the Wall Street Journal would be respectable, how do I put this? If they have any sort of insight as to what could happen to this country, they shouldn't put things out there like that. They really shouldn't. Because
well,
there are too
remember,
many
Rupert Murdoch owns it. Rupert Murdoch owns
know,
it. Actually,
I
does Fox News.
Well, they need
you know,
to be
so
more
it's all about money.
I know,
mm-hmm.
and they need to be more responsible though, because they will shut down. They will shut down Fox too. Well, probably not Fox, but MSNBC, CNN, anything that you know gives
mm-hmm.
basically facts and doesn't lie on a daily basis will be
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
Put a hammer to it. So how many reasons do we have to give people to vote for Democrats this time around? Do what you want
mm-hmm.
in 2028. Doesn't matter. But we have to get through this right now.
Mm-hmm.
He said
mm-hmm.
himself that he would be a dictator on day one and that he will drill, baby, drill. What does that say to you?
Mm-hmm.
What does that tell you?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No respect for the environment or climate change.
Exactly. Right. So the young
mm-hmm.
people have to know that
mm-hmm.
too. And I think they're all smarter
mm-hmm.
than we think. You know,
mm-hmm.
I think
mm-hmm.
that there are certain age groups that are really stuck in the mud and they need to get their
mm-hmm.
boots out of it and start
mm-hmm.
looking
mm-hmm.
into reality because it's frustrating and it's very tiring. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like we're always begging, you know, pay attention, listen, you know, spend some time, you know, researching. It's all out there. It's all there.
Mm-hmm. And last week, the Wall Street closed at 37,000.
Yeah.
An upward trend. First time in the history of Wall Street.
Yes.
You know, inflation is under control.
Yes.
Crime is under control across the board, except for red states. Red states, especially Tennessee, has lots of crime. Border security is tightened. The war in Ukraine and Gaza, where Russia invaded Ukraine, and Israel doing what they're doing to Gaza, flattening it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, Republicans are just beholden to Putin for some reason. He has secrets, you know, being a former KGB man and everything. And what are these secrets? Mm-hmm. Let's know when Republicans mm-hmm. lose in 2024. Hopefully, it all comes out. Everything in the dark must mm-hmm. come to light, whether it's next
yeah.
year, whether it's 20, 30 years from now. Because
mm-hmm.
I'll give you this example. Back in 1952, when Ike ran for president, and
mm-hmm.
Adlai Stevens, the former governor of Ohio, he ran in both 1952 and 1956 against Ike. And do you know, in 1953, Stalin approached Adlai Stevens, said, hey, you know, tell us some of the secrets and we'll give you this amount of money. And Adlai Stevenson, mm-hmm. in 1956, after he lost the election to Eisenhower, a man who he despised, they despised each other, politically and everywhere. And he had to go
mm-hmm.
to Ike and say, hear what? Stalin's men approached me saying this, that, and wanted to offer me money. Now, Adlai Stevenson was a patriot for what he did. He put away political
mm-hmm.
differences
Absolutely.
And said, hear what? This is what Russia is trying. This is what the Soviet Union is trying. Let's unite to make sure it never happens. And lo and behold,
yep.
comes Donald Trump and even Reagan before him, you know,
yep.
who give everything to corporations, and, you know, colluding with Russia, for example, Donald Trump, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So he's no Adlai
yep.
Stevenson. Donald Trump
no.
is a traitor to the United States. He says he wants to rewrite the Constitution. How about reading it first, Donald, if he can read?
Yeah, no
You know?
Kidding.
It's preposterous.
Can he read and write?
You
That's
know?
My question. Yeah.
You know? In his Iowa rally recently, he was
mm-hmm.
saying we should shred the Constitution and rewrite it. And he was spearhead rewriting it. You know, he wants to
mm-hmm.
become a dictator, plain and simple. And we're not going to allow it. We're not going
He's
to allow
already...
him to come in there as king. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That is his
mm-hmm.
dream for his life, is to be a dictator. Think about it. His ego
mm-hmm.
is that big. You know, he is, and that would be the epitome of his life. And the other thing that we know is that he has 91 indictments against him, and some of them are going
mm-hmm.
to stick, and he will probably be guilty and go to prison. And he's running for
mm-hmm.
his life for that reason as well.
Mm-hmm.
Not because
exactly.
he loves his country. He doesn't love
no.
his country. He doesn't love the people in this country. You know, he talks about poor people like they're dirt. He doesn't like people. I'm sorry. He
mm-hmm.
does not. Unless you're a super rich billionaire. You know, and then he might,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
like you for an hour. But he doesn't like anyone. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's get it through your head, people. Donald Trump is an orange monster. That's all he is. He's a liar. He's a cheat.
Mm-hmm.
He has no integrity. He will say anything. He would sell his soul to the devil if he hasn't already done that. And
mm-hmm.
he would
started this narrative back in 2012.
Mm-hmm.
In 2012,
mm-hmm.
he
mm-hmm.
wanted Romney to contest the election results. Donald
yes,
Trump
did.
Started yelling and screaming that the election was rigged and
mm-hmm.
that people should march, and this is his quotes back then, the people should
yeah.
march on Washington.
Yeah, absolutely.
He started back
mm-hmm.
in 2012 with his narrative.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? I don't understand Romney. Romney understands what he did in 2012. And Romney
yeah.
walks around with his goddamn fingers up his ass.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, he's not running. He's retiring. He's going away.
No,
too.
He is
like
cowering.
A
cow. He is putting
he's
his
like
tail between his leg, and he's going to run home. But he,
right.
You know, I remember when he went to Washington when Donald got elected. When he went to Washington to make sure that his niece was going to be chairman of the Republican
mm-hmm.
Party.
Yep.
What does Romney think? People don't remember?
They all think we don't remember. That's the thing. All these Republicans think we're all stupid, and we don't remember, and we don't read, and we don't write. You know, that's what they think. And they think they're pulling the wool over all of our eyes, and they're not. They truly are not.
Well, I'm going to keep repeating it over and over and over. And I'll tell you another rich person from Michigan that has to be brought to light again. And that is
mm-hmm.
Stanley Grott. He was one of them that was going to be one of those fake people for the Electoral College. They were going to doctor the documents.
Yep.
Yes,
mm-hmm.
Mr.
Mm-hmm.
Stanley Grott from Clinton
yep.
Township,
mm-hmm.
Michigan.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Not far from here. Yeah, it's just, like I said, it's exhausting. It's mentally exhausting. But we have to keep going. This is our pledge, you know, that we're going to do all that we can to get, you know, President Biden and Kamala Harris
mm-hmm.
back in office for 4 more years. And I'll be honest, if I were President
mm-hmm.
Biden, I would say, to hell with all of you Republicans. Enjoy your life. I'm going off and I'm going to go into the sunset. I'm going to enjoy my life and my family. But he's not doing that.
Mm-hmm.
Because he knows
mm-hmm.
that America needs him. And so far he has done an excellent job quietly
mm-hmm.
and on a daily basis, quietly.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a boaster. He doesn't go out there and say, hey, I did this. He just does it because
mm-hmm.
it's his job and that's the way he feels. So
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
let's give him some credit where credit is due. Let's vote for them again
mm-hmm.
so we can see 4
mm-hmm.
more years of progress.
Yes, indeed. And before we go, I want to give a special shout out to these two candidates, women candidates, need more women
mm-hmm.
in high offices.
Yes, we do.
Lexa Doherty, she's running for the congressional seat in District 10 in Georgia. We hope to have her on show soon. And she's a young woman, very talented,
mm-hmm.
very educated, driven.
Mm-hmm.
And let's help her to be the next congresswoman from District 10 in Georgia. And Christine Hines, she's running for the county prosecutor for Macomb County in Michigan.
Yeah.
And we hope
mm-hmm.
to have her on show as well. And she was recently endorsed by Run for Something in 2023. So her campaign is off to a flying start.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these two women are vibrant, energetic. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, we can get these women elected, you know. So let's just put, you know, the good vibes out there, the positive vibes.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Lexa Doherty, she's running for the Congressional District 10 in Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And Christina
mm-hmm.
Hines, she's running for county
mm-hmm.
prosecutor for Macomb County, Michigan. And no female has ever been county prosecutor in Macomb County.
No.
So help her
no.
with history. You know, she's breaking
that
boundaries and everything.
Yep, that would be wonderful. She's going
mm-hmm,
to be on our
mm-hmm.
show in a few weeks. Probably after
yes,
Christmas.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, indeed. We'd love
sometime
to have those two women on.
Yeah, sometime in
yes,
January, Christine will be on.
Mm-hmm,
oh, she's
mm-hmm.
going to go. She is going to go after Lucido's job, Peter Lucido's
mm-hmm.
job, and I hope that she
mm-hmm,
beats
mm-hmm.
him good. That's what I hope for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Lexa Doherty from Congressional District 10 in Georgia, she wants to expand healthcare access, fight climate
mm-hmm.
change, protect ballot access, stop gun violence. Fund public education, raise workers' wages, $7.25 for the past how many years now, you know, while CEO pays a raise. You know, she can get a lot accomplished, you know, if we'll band together and
mm-hmm.
send her money, you know, because she's
mm-hmm.
a good person. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, she believes in investing in youth, the next generation. you know, set up the country for long-term prosperity with helping youth, investing in them in terms of education and other things, you know. So Lexa Dorothy, hopefully, she'll be the next congresswoman from District 10 in Georgia. Yeah, because Georgia is purple. It was deep red once, but we saw in the last election how Democrats clawed away and fought tooth and nail to the very last. And Joe Biden got the victory there, and Democrats made some breakthroughs there. Stacey Abrams didn't get to become governor, but trust me, you know, she's having these fights now. So Georgia will eventually see the light and elect her and other strong women like her and people of color, you know, and minorities to certain positions, key positions, you know?
Absolutely right.
So
yeah, that would be great. We just have to get rid of these rotten Republicans. They've got to go, especially the group that's in there right now in the House. They are horrible people. Horrible. On a daily basis, you know. Oh, it's so frustrating, but we will get through this. We will. We're going to win in 2024. Yes. We just don't forget the election that was just a few months ago. We, you know, we won all, you know, most of those elections, and we did well. So I think we will do well in 2024. We just have to keep talking and making people understand, or trying to help them to understand what's happening in this country. That's all.
Yeah, and this wealth tax that Biden talking about, Jeff Bezos made $5.7 billion last year. You know, so if he paid taxes, that would leave Jeff Bezos with $185 billion. You know, and that's paying his fair share. You know, that would leave him, you know, remember he made $5.7 billion. So $185 billion is nothing to him. It's chump change.
No.
Elon Musk.
It is.
You know, $4.6 billion. You know, what is $149 billion in taxes? Nothing, you know?
No.
So the ultra-rich need to pay their fair share in taxes.
Yes, and if they would pay their fair share in taxes, all these billionaires, we would not have a deficit. We really wouldn't. We probably wouldn't have. They've already said that we would not have a deficit if they paid their fair share. But instead... they're getting richer and richer and richer, and they don't care about the common man. They just don't. Or woman.
Exactly.
That's it. So.
Yeah. It's disheartening and everything. And last point I want to make, because I'm under 2 minutes, between 1979 to 2021, worker productivity growth was 65%, worker pay growth 17%, CEO pay growth 1,460%. You know, so get it together, people. Vote Democrat, vote blue, up and down the ballot, because we need good people in there. Republicans don't care about America. They're all talk with no action. Joe Biden and Democrats show that they're not just all talk, but with action. So I want to thank everybody for calling in. Khalil from the Commonwealth of Virginia, Elaine from Michigan, Susie earlier from Michigan, and everybody for sharing across all social media. And I want to thank, you know, the people, Worth More Business, for, you know, boosting our website and everything. Soon and very soon, I promise you, we'll have merchandise on sale. It's kitchenpolitics123.com. We'll hope you look and like the blog articles you read. And we're going to be back again Sunday night, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern for another edition of Kitchen Politics 123. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Laurie.
Good night, David. This is Laurie Picka from Michigan, and we will see you on Sunday. And just think about everything we said tonight. Vote blue, please. Thank you. Have a good night.
Baby, I want to hear you say, Thank you.